Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my beautiful co-host, Veronica Entwistle. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Jackie. Good evening, everybody.
Welcome to tonight's show, and it's going to be a good one. Power and responsibility, more power, more responsibility.
Oh, darn.
I know. Oh, Lord. So as I wrote, as we begin to own our God-Goddess selves, we can step into more of our power, but with that power comes responsibility on many levels. We are the ones that we've been waiting for, and it's time to own that and step into it with grace and authority. And, of course, I write this stuff, and then I'm telling you, I get blasted. I don't know about you, Veronica, but this has been a very interesting week. Have you had people with anger suffer as surfacing?
Actually, a little bit, yeah. Not too many.
Good. All right. Well, I've only had a couple, but they were good enough.
Well, anger, yeah, anger is interesting. I was just thinking that I myself have been going through a dialogue with myself about anger. Not that I'm mad, but more like what makes me mad and watching myself react in such a way.
That's interesting. Well, whenever we work with healing the relationship with God, we're going to bring up anger, how we deal with it, where it comes from, why we have it. Because it's part and parcel of it. And it's so intricate and so deep and so old that it can really kind of turn us sideways if we're not careful. Certainly I've seen anger coming up at the male patriarchy this week, at humans that aren't getting it, you know.
Well, are there some of those still?
Yeah, just in case you haven't noticed. yes, there are, as a matter of fact. And, yes, I've seen a lot of that. Anger about being compared, comparisons. You know, saying to somebody, well, you know, people are experiencing this and just not making them happy.
Well, isn't it comparisons? You know, I've been on this thing about competition. It's a little bit like that, too, isn't it? Yes.
Yes, it is.
That's where I'm dickering with the anger part of me, you know.
Say that again.
Well, it's a subject. I think I told you this last week. It's a subject I've been exploring both in myself and in the external reaction to me, you know. That's probably been huge for me for about a week right now.
Uh-huh.
So when you say anger about comparisons, I go, uh-huh, that's that subject really as well, isn't it?
Yes, of course it is. Absolutely. People are really wanting to find their own identity finally, really, really wanting to be recognized for who they are, their issues, their as being theirs, not necessarily everybody else's. There are always others who say, oh, thank God other people are going through this. I'm not by myself. And, but there are people who have, who are, you know, have felt not heard, who are really saying, you know, no, this is me, talk to me. I don't want to hear about anybody else. But I really see this, and I had a lot of comments from people regarding, healing their relationship with God and how it's showing up in their lives and, the intricate ways, the very complex ways that it's been, I mean, you know, we're talking about, of course, was it last week's show? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm so good with time.
It was either this morning or it was about a week ago.
Right. Well, it was one of those.
Well, I want to say from last week's show, too, one of the things that has been writhing around in me is my awareness that, for example, my father couldn't see or know me, and I think I've got God doing that same very thing all the time.
Now say that again. Your father didn't know you?
Yeah, my father couldn't know who I was, and I always thought that should have been, that there was something wrong with me, that he couldn't know who I was, but I think also I feel that about God as well, and that came up on last week's show and has whirled around inside of me since then.
I think this is and thank you for bringing that up. I think that's a huge issue. A lot of people, I would say probably the majority of people, feel that God doesn't know them, that they don't have, you know, this goes back to Kathleen about God's got my back. And I love that statement, and I think it's a really interesting one, or affirmation, really. That so few people feel that real strong connection to God. Many people feel totally connected to Goddess, but not to God. And there's been so much separation with God, which is part of, you know, our whole thing with polarity, duality, from the feminine perspective for women. Also, you know, as we've said many times, it's the issue of the planet itself coming here and feeling, you know, going into density and feeling separate from source. It's part of the game of Earth, always. And the big joke on us is that we've never been separate. We can't be separate, but we sure as hell feel separate. And don't feel known. And I think that's a really good way of putting it, Veronica, not feeling not known by God. And because if you don't feel it with your dad, you don't feel it with God, since that's right. the God projection.
When we were little Catholic kids, part of the catechism is, my purpose in life is to know, love, and serve God. But there was nothing about the other way around.
Well, no, of course not.
Rule two is that God will know me, but that didn't happen yet.
No. Well, and this feeds into the power as well. If you have an intimate relationship with God, it's easier to step in. It's more elegant for you to step into your sense of feeling powerful. If you don't feel known by God, it's really difficult to feel powerful because you have to feel powerful all by yourself.
That's right.
And that takes a lot to get there. And on our planet, that's usually equated with your financial wealth, your power in the financial world, with status or, you know, title or money, which usually comes with that anyway. But for the average person to feel powerful, if they don't have an intimate relationship with God, it's tough to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking, I had a caller on the show just before this who was asking why so many of us who are on the path have terrible resource problems or abundance problems or prosperity problems, even though we're doing all the work. So I think I'm going bingo here. This is the response to Deb's thing, which is without feeling that power, it's much harder to break the chains of having poverty consciousness, you know?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's also deservability issues. And the deservability issue is that it has been pounded into humanity for thousands of years, which is you don't deserve. You're here to serve. Right?
That's right. Deserve, you mean?
Well, okay, fine.
What I mean, if you serve or if you deserve, deserve is not serving. It's deserve, isn't it?
It's, yes, exactly. I mean, humans have been taught that they have original sin. They have to earn God's love through acts of contrition, you know, through all of these sacrifices, you know, in order just even to be on a level playing field. So you're never taught that you're powerful.
Right.
You're taught that you don't deserve.
And power is often a negative word, isn't it?
Of course it is. Mm-hmm. Because we judge anybody who's powerful as being a corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're powerful. They must have done something to get there, you know. Now, I mean, for metaphysicians, you know, you recognize a powerful person, but I think then we get back into the competition circle.
That's right.
Okay, if I feel you're powerful and I'm not, okay, mm-hmm. I have to look at me and say, what's wrong with me? Why am I not powerful? And then it creates a competition with the person I think is more powerful than I am.
Yeah,
instead of me looking, sorry?
Yes, that's something that's very perplexing.
Okay, and when people feel really good about themselves, if they feel their own sense of power, their own sense of connectedness, then they celebrate other people who are stepping into their power, who have their power, who, you know, walk in their beauty, their elegance, their radiance, their love, their joy. It's easy to celebrate that when you feel that you have your own.
That's right.
Okay? You're not threatened by anyone else. You're not competitive with anybody else, and you're not jealous of anybody else. There's no reason to be. I mean, you know, that's really the bottom line, isn't it? Unfortunately, it's the reverse here, which most people believe they're not enough. And that's the battle that they're always in. I'm not enough, I'm not enough, I'm not enough. How can I go out and make a difference in the world when I'm not there yet?
Right.
I'm not enough, I haven't made it, I'm not, you know, on and on and on and on. Now, we've used prosperity as a yardstick for power and success and all of these things.
For making it. The word you used said made it, and that's it. We use prosperity for making it, don't we?
Yes. And yet, if you look at people like Gandhi, who had huge influence,
mm-hmm.
all right? Mother Teresa, huge influence. They didn't have any money. They were in service, but they didn't have any money.
Right.
But they weren't, I mean, and they were in service to humanity, but not in service of earning God's love.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So obviously their relationship was strong enough, you know, that they trusted that. They trusted that what they needed would be there to help them in their service.
Well, but the one thing, remember Mother Teresa went through a very dark time in her 60s where she thought God had left her. Yeah. I think it's important to remember that because she continued to be, that light, but had her own inner grueling journey for a while.
Everybody has that at periods. And anybody who says they don't is lying. Well, I won't say
thank you for that.
Well, I think we're always challenged, always, because we're human. And we tend to judge ourselves for that and feel shame and feel guilt about the fact that we're not on 24/7, that we don't have it together 24/7. And because we're human, we have to have some compassion with ourselves to recognize that we're in the process of remembering who we truly are, but we're going to waver here and there. There's just no way not to. We're still unweaving out of the collective, and
right.
That's a big damn soup. It's a big soup.
Sure is.
So,
it's a noodle soup.
It is. Now, power and responsibility, because this is so damn big. When we're not aware of how powerful we are, and everybody is powerful, there is nobody who's not. Even people who believe they're not powerful are powerful. That's the scary part. Okay? We can be dangerous. And I've brought this up before, and this is the absolute truth. We don't realize when we start throwing emotions, because it's the emotions, the level of emotion that can truly impact. And if we're carrying a lot of rage and anger at our circumstances, our life, our whatever, you know, at the way the world's being run, our government, whoever, husbands, boyfriends, children, whatever, we can be dangerous because we're wielding powerful emotions, and especially now, because those emotions have a lot more power behind them than they've ever had before.
Why do they? Because we're in the process?
Because we're in the process, because all this stuff is peeling off. So when we feel these emotions, they emote, they impact on a much greater level than ever before. If we don't know we're powerful and we're wielding these around, we can have devastating effects. I talked to somebody this week, and because I know this kind of stuff to be true, and they had a lot of rage coming up about other lifetimes and, you know, the male patriarchal and so on and so forth. And they noticed that their son and husband were both injuring themselves all over the place.
Oh, my gosh.
And I had to point out where this was coming from. And, of course, they felt terrible. But, I mean, it wasn't a matter of them feeling terrible because of what was going on. It was a matter of understanding that when you have these emotions, okay, learning how to channel them in a way so that everybody doesn't suffer is usually a good idea. And, you know, I found it really interesting. I did two particular sessions in one day where there was a lot of anger coming up out of people. And what was fascinating to me is I started to bleed from my bladder again. It absolutely just torqued my second chakra. And I'm still coming out of it. But what was even more interesting to me is that my dog got it. I was carrying it, and my dog, I couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. He was running around the house pooping everywhere. Okay? And I was so, and he knows better. I was so upset with him. And while I having, they're cordoned off into just a section of the house that doesn't have a lot of carpets and stuff. But I was so upset. And I finally got it today. What it was is that it was hitting, because he's so sensitive, it was hitting his second chakra too. It was coming off of me and right into him. So once I got it and I sat down and I loved him up and, you know, and I kind of cleared my own, I'd been working on clearing all this stuff out of me anyway. And he calmed down. But, I mean, I realized how big this stuff is. And, you know, for all of you who are listening out there tonight, please understand, you're not the normal run-of-the-mill person. I hate to tell you all of this, or all of you this, but you're not. You're the ones that came in to assist as the bridges, as the ones who were helping to heal not only yourself, but to also have a huge impact on the collective. So you all took things on in a big way. And looking in the mirror and thinking that you're small isn't going to cut it anymore. I'm sorry. You know, and if I had a band, it would start playing right now. So,
well, you know what? This is slightly different, but we have a washing machine that twice now I put it on at night, and it spun the clothes till it was still spinning in the morning. And then I had a dishwasher, and it started going, and it wouldn't go off. And I'm like, are we overworked here? Do we need to really slow down? Do we need to stop periodically? What's going on?
Yes. Well, I think the fact that everything's in a spin cycle is...
it was quite different, wasn't it? But it was kind of funny.
Well, we're... again, I want to go back to power because this is I have to tell you really a funny story. You know, family joke, everybody that knows me, I read the movie mags. Didn't used to do it for whatever reason, and the team a lot of times will get me into something for a reason, and I don't necessarily know what's going on at the time. And I give them away to the where I get my nails done, and my daughter packs them in her suitcase, and you know, I always make certain that they get circulated to other people, and I kept thinking, you know, and I've always said, you know, I write them off because to me, I'm looking at our many archetypes, which are our movie stars. You know, what are they presenting? What are they going through? So on and so forth. And to me, it's a study in consciousness. What's going on? And I watched the Golden Globes on Sunday all by myself. It was absolutely wonderful. And sat there and cried through the whole darn thing. And I was so moved at the energies of the people, and I could see how soft they'd gotten, how caring, how loving, how in their speeches and things that they talked about, director and producer for Avatar, what that movie meant. And, you know, I mean, it was just really some powerful stuff that night. And it took me 2 days to get it, that directing that kind of energy, and the team was really giggling at me, okay? Once again, and I've always worked with photographs. That's been something I've always, I didn't even know what I was doing when I first started doing this. And I used to say to people years ago, send me your photograph. I'll put it by my computer. I'll work with it every day. I had all kinds of amazing miracles. I had no clue what I was doing. And I didn't realize how much energy we were directing at the archetypes, these archetypes, and the purpose of it, because, of course, we're dealing with archetypes right now. That's what we're all working on, whether anybody realizes it or not. Everybody that's having sessions with us, we're working at the archetypal level. These sessions go through the archetypes into the collective. This is the filtering system to make major shifts. And I was just like, wow. Because I wondered the last couple of days, I've been buying, Scientific America and Psychology Today, all kinds of other stuff. You know, I was like, I can't look at another movie magazine. I just can't. And then this wonderful message came in, and it made me giggle. And, but again, I own the power of these things without feeling. It doesn't go to my ego. It's not like I sit around and go, boy, am I powerful. It's a matter of, when I'm asked to go and do something, I don't even question it. I just go and do it. If the team or whoever over these years have directed me to go and do certain things, I just go and do it. I never question whether or not I have the power to do it. I just assume I wouldn't be asked if I wasn't capable of doing it and didn't have all the help needed to accomplish whatever it is that needed to be done. And that's where we all need to be. And it certainly has nothing to do with, status, financial, because I'm really the rebel. You know, my poor son goes to the dentist. He goes, isn't your mom the one that works with the ETs? You know, he whispers to him. So it's not any of that, but I think it's really interesting. And this goes back to taking responsibility. And I've said to my son, we talk really, we kid each other, but we talk very lovingly to one another. And what's really interesting is that I'm very, very careful about ever losing my temper or getting angry about anything. And not that anger isn't a real emotion, and if I felt, I guess, that if I really needed to do it, I could. But I'm very careful about directing energy in that way because I understand what big impact it can have. And therefore, I'm real careful about it. That doesn't stop me from whining, however.
So what does whining do to people?
I don't know. I don't think it does much of anything other than people look at me and go, why is she whining? Basically because I know nobody listens to me. I know my son certainly doesn't, neither do my friends. So, but again, this power and responsibility thing is so big, and this is the time that we're going to start really stepping into the power. Big time. This year is going to be huge. Huge, huge, huge. And I wanted to talk about a couple of other things before the team comes in. Bleeding through from other lifetimes, and I had somebody who their father in this lifetime killed their husband in another lifetime on a different planet. And a boy, it just really hit me. I was in channel, but I was out there and kind of went, whoa, kind of little bells and whistles go off. And how important it is to be really careful about these bleed-throughs that are coming through, remembering not to, or trying not to carry the anger into this lifetime for some of the things that have happened in other lifetimes. That one can get real tricky.
So we can just stay neutral. How do you just stay neutral? You've got to hit your reaction as quickly as possible.
Well, recognizing it, it's kind of like watching a movie. And, you know, at the same time, you can understand the emotions, but remember that we're doing the work right now to heal all of these lifetimes. Okay? That's really important to remember. Because, again, with these powerful emotions that we're wielding around right now, you know, we want to be careful that we don't give somebody a heart attack or, you know, blind them or, you know, whatever. And so I'm very careful about how I react to people. And I know I responded to somebody who changed the session time or something, and they misconstrued it as me being upset with them, and I wasn't upset with them at all. And I thought, whoa, I must have had it because I was very busy and it distracted me when they changed their time around. And my book was such a mess anyway because I had screwed up a bunch of days. And I apologized profusely because I realized that the energy in my email, although short, was powerful. And even though it was in an email, and that's a real, I'm reminding people that our energies are, you know, they're attaching to things now. They're going out there now. They're touching people. We have to be really careful. The channelings this week were, I thought, particularly powerful. If any of you haven't had time to read them, I sure suggest you do. The first channeling that was sent out with that group was astrological, and it went through all the influences for 2010. And I have to tell you, I read that. I almost didn't send that one. Because I read that, and I thought, oh, Lord.
Whose is it, or do we know?
Huh?
Who wrote it?
I don't know. It's on the radio show announcement. But
okay.
These were actually, you know, alignments, and it was very brief. It gave an overview, and then it gave a brief, the alignments, what they were coming at for 2010. And we're in the ascension process. So, you know, we've got some stuff going on. And a lot of people out there are challenging it, you know, are channeling that it's all, you know, roses and rainbows from here on out and so on and so forth. And I never like to be the bearer of bad tidings, ever. And I recognize that, you know, we create our reality. We are, it's a subjective reality, and we can create around all of this. But I think it's really important that I felt like it was honest to share that with people, because what I'm doing is kind of, you know, shoring my own self up, saying, okay, Jackie, get it together. Get, really look at any place that you're not, that you have any energy on that may not be of the highest. You know, anything, no matter how small or how big. And I want to recommend to everybody, Lazarus puts out a Rhythms and Patterns tape, or a CD now, twice a year, January through June, and then July through December. And I would highly recommend that you go on to Lazarus, LazarIS.com. and order the new one, which is Rhythms and Patterns of 2010, the Year of Initiation. One thing about, and Lazarus has been putting these out for, Lord, I can't even tell you how many years. But, and you know, I haven't ordered them for years because I'm so, I never have time to listen to anything, but I am going to order this one. And because one thing Lazarus does do is talks about how to navigate these energies. And I think this year we need that help for navigating. So I think it's real important. Again, it's a suggestion. You know, do as you please. I did want to let everybody, when I went on the site tonight, though, in the month of February, all of Lazarus's tapes that are streaming, or in other words, you can download them onto your computer and then drop them onto a CD or onto an iPod. All of those tapes that he has that are in that format
what he calls streaming, okay, will be free for the month of February. So that is a wonderful offering, but you have to email, and it's right on the website. As you go in, there's an announcement, and you may have to look through the first page or so, but and you just email Concept Synergy, and then they will evidently give you a code. They're going to email back a code for you to use for the month of February. But for those of you that would like to order and have those available, it certainly is a wonderful way to do it. And you can download them to your computer and then drop them onto a CD. So I thought that was a wonderful contribution that Lazarus was making and Concept mm-hmm. Synergy. The other thing I want to talk about is a lot of channels have said, oh, you're healed, and from here you don't have to look at any of that. Have you heard this one, Veronica?
What is it? Sorry.
A lot of channels are talking about how healed everybody is. They don't.
I've heard that one and the fact that Ascension was done in 2005. I've heard a lot of things. I don't know what to believe about all of that, actually.
Well, because I'm so soft-spoken.
Oh, that's for sure.
All right, I would just say, baloney, okay? Believe me, if we were all healed, our lives would be perfect, okay? And they're not, so.
Well, I agree with you that the pressure is on. You feel it, so I kind of dismiss those things. Don't you think it's wishful thinking?
Again, everything's subjective. So I just figured that there's a lot of controversy out there right now about a lot of channels who said a lot of things and they haven't happened and whatever. And, you know, I always say to the team, please don't promise anything you can't deliver. They just laugh at me. So.
Well, one thing I have heard for many, many years is do not make statements like that. It can't work because if we're creating our reality, it's going to be very subjective all the way across anyway.
That's exactly right. This goes all the way back to Seth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jane Roberts, who channeled Seth, and Seth said it beautifully. The minute you go to a psychic and you hear something, as soon as you hear it, you can change that reality because you respond to that information the moment you hear it, and it starts up a whole chain of events. If you're not going to allow in something wonderful, then lots of people blame the psychics, which I think is always very funny.
Blame the messenger.
Of course, kill the messenger. anyway, I think that's anything you wanted to talk about, honey?
No, I'm eager to hear what the team has to say about power and responsibility, too.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to say, you know, we came out of Mercury, went direct. I don't know about you, Veronica, but it doesn't feel very direct to me.
I find it confusing and fast all at the same time.
Yes. Energies are really, really, really fast.
And actually, I've heard from several people that the energies of other channels, Ginger for Galaxis channel,
yes.
Energies are absolutely crazy where she is. She's going like, ah.
Yes, I would agree. I couldn't agree more. It's just nuts.
But we have to just surf it, don't we? Take a breath, get into center.
yes, surfing it is. That's a really a good way to put it, and that's pretty much the way it is surfing it right now. And stay tuned because it'll change in a moment.
It's really good for us to keep
the
eye on the eye on the ball of your choice, right?
Again, subjective reality. Boy, I tell you what, I remember that constantly, constantly, constantly. And
hello.
All right. No, I'm going in the channel. I forgot to say goodnight to everyone. Okay.
I thought you'd gone off on the big jet. Whoosh.
All right, everyone, welcome. All right. Oh, she does go on, doesn't she? All right, welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome, Veronica. Good to be with you.
Thank you, and to you. Thank you.
All right. Power and responsibility. Oh, goodness. Well, you know, you've all been so resistant to really taking your power. And a lot of the reason that you're afraid of taking your power is the responsibility that comes with it. You're terrified of making mistakes. Suppose I do it wrong. Suppose I make another mistake. Suppose we have another Atlantis. Now that energy right now is up. All right. Not in your conscious mind yet, but it is running, believe us. All right, like your antivirus program back there in the back of the computer. All right. Lots of issues around responsibility. And if you're afraid of taking responsibility, you're not going to want to take your power. Now, we're always fascinated about people being afraid of responsibility. And we would say, for all of you, that it would be a very good idea to sit down and think about the ways in which you could take more responsibility. Now, we can already hear some of you thinking, well, I don't have enough responsibility already. Look, I have this and that, this and that, this and that, this and that. And you're the economy, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. I gotta listen to tapes, and I gotta meditate, and I'm running my chakras, and when am I gonna have time to do more things? And we would say to you, it only takes a moment. Where do you want to be responsible? Now, for many of you, the economy certainly has created this wave of fear about what about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? Where am I going to be? What's going to happen? And we want to remind you people that that fear is part of the game of Earth. It's not real. You allow it to be real. It's the greatest distraction you have. Fear. And that fear comes up for several reasons. One, that you don't believe. You really don't believe that you have love, protection, and guidance, that you're all surrounded, right? Two, that you know how to create your reality. And we would highly recommend that you go onto this Lazarus website and look at all of the reality-creating tapes that are on it, and wonderful information. If you're iffy about creating your reality, all kinds of tools. Sharpen your tools. Three, you don't trust yourself. Right? That's a big one. Four, that you're not enough. That you're flawed. And five is that you're going to screw it up. That you'll do some damage. Now, so many of you still carry this tremendous energy, this great sorrow about Atlantis and what happened there. But taking responsibility can be done in so many ways. You see, you're already creating your reality. You just don't necessarily own that. The difference is doing it consciously. Excuse us. And taking responsibility for spending a few moments every day to work with the people in Haiti that have crossed over, to send them love and energy and gratitude for their contribution, for what they've done. We know a lot of you are sending energy to Obama and to the White House and the President and to Congress and the Senate and so on and so forth, and the House, excuse me. We know some of you are working with the dolphins and the whales. But any of these things, you can choose, any and all, for that matter, to have influence and impact. We've talked about this so many times. Your every touch, your every breath, every place you put your attention can benefit from your energy with consciousness. I am consciously putting my energy here. I'm consciously putting it there with the intent of bringing love, bringing healing, bringing joy, bringing awareness, bringing activation. And the more you do that, the more powerful you will feel, the more you will realize that you are powerful. The channel asked us to share something we said in a session. And what we said to this dear person that we work with is that the only difference between, or one of the only differences between you and God, is that God knows that it's God and you don't. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of power we're talking about. That's the kind of power you have access to if you could but believe it. If you could love yourselves enough. And in order to love yourself that much, yes, you need to heal. All the reasons why not. All the reasons why not. Now, many of you are getting the tickle, the tap on the shoulder that says, time to get on with what you're scared to do, time to get up. Well, that's because you were programmed to do that, and you're all doing it, whether you're aware of it or not. We've said this many times. But to be conscious in every moment is one of the greatest gifts you can bring. Now, we know you're all so busy and you forget, and we don't want you beating yourself up over that. Running into the dry cleaners or the grocery store or the gas station or wherever, the mall. But you're doing it. Your energy field is doing it. Do it consciously. I'm going to open my energy field and send as much love and light, activation and healing out to everyone, everywhere as I walk through this place and do this and do that. Look into the eyes of everyone that you see and see God looking back at you. If you can't see it in yourself, see it in them. You mean that nasty lady down the street? I've got to look in her eyes and see God. Yes! And when you do, you will be amazed to see how differently she responds. Your world is a reflection. All of it. Some of it on grander scales than others, but all of it. your wars are all of the anger and rage that you haven't healed. And when that's healed, those cease to be wars. But we could go on and on with that one. But you see, to not believe you're powerful diminishes the wonderful impact you can have and can amplify sometimes the impact you didn't want to have. Think twice before you walk into a place filled with anger and blow that anger out at everyone in the room. You're all going to notice that your animals are going to be more sensitive. The channel saw that this week. But it's not just her, it's all animals. All animals. Everything. Everywhere. Everywhere. So, Veronica.
Yes.
Power and responsibility.
Power and responsibility. I just keep feeling how strong it is to be in the empowerment of one's own divinity. That's such a big job to me. I almost can't even fathom worrying about. I can't really put it together logically yet because I'm just feeling that urge to be in that power.
Right. And in being in that power, then you're not afraid to take on more responsibility, are you?
No, I think we're not. Mm-mm.
Because
it isn't really just our own ego doing it, our own pride.
No, it's not the ego. But it's knowing that you can impact everything. You know, when you were children, you used to lay on your back in the yard and move the clouds. You believed in your magic and your power then.
Right.
And you did move the clouds. You can work with nature. You can do so many amazing things that you haven't really tapped into yet. Some of you have. We know that. Walk out on a cloudy day and call in the sun. And boom, it's there. Full time and space. These are all the games the channel used to play for years. Right. With nature, with folding time and space, with doing all kinds of things, bilocating, all of these things you're all capable of doing. You don't have to do anything else to be able to do these things and to have impact. But it comes with responsibility. No. That if you've decided to have impact in every moment, that then you're going to have to monitor what you do, how you do it, how you speak to people. Are you being kind? Are you loving?
And isn't there a thing about having a power and impact that has a an action or an energy that moves through many so it doesn't, so it's not just you alone, but the whole collective gets to move? I mean, isn't that a consciousness we need to hold as well?
Not yet.
Okay.
Those that are aware and awake, yes. But you want to be careful about the whole collective having impact. It's already having impact. You don't want it to have any more impact until you reach that tipping point.
Hmm.
That's what you're all moving towards. Now that tipping point. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Where there is enough light, enough of the positive in the collective that when it has impact on the positive side more than on the negative. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. But I was more thinking how I guess I can't really explain it. I just feel like we're all so nested together energetically.
We, absolutely. There is no question. Remember, there's only one of you.
And that is really incomprehensible, is it not?
Well, not from our perspective, but from yours, yes. From yours, yes. It's, again, if we could draw it for you in this huge spiral, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of you in every moment, all the way that you have to recognize how big this spiral would have to be, all right? Which you can't even imagine, you can, as you say, fathom. All the beings, all the lifetimes, all the moments in every lifetime. All the variables. And we'll go back to the simplest common denominator. One cell moving so fast that it's everywhere all at the same time, being everything and everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You are webbed together. You are knit together. There's no way for you not to be. It's an impossibility, and it's the grand illusion. There is no grander illusion than that one. And when you know it, when you feel it, when you absolutely know that everyone is connected to you, whether they want to be or not, whether they like you or not. And the more aware of that you become, the more capable you are of sending love to everyone with no exclusion. Oh, there's another part of me expressing over here as something that I would put judgment on normally, but I don't have to now because I recognize it's just experiencing itself as separate from God.
And we're going to have to sign off in a minute or two. We've got a minute.
All right. Veronica, go ahead quickly and talk about what you've got coming.
Okay. My next show, Paradigm Shifters, on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, is a rerun of a show that got messed up this week. It's Galexis, talking about the emergence of this time and people stepping into their awakening.
Wonderful.
And, yes, it should be very good. I loved the interview. Anyway, so next Thursday night at 7 o'clock, more of Radiance by Design and calling in, and then at 8 o'clock, you'll be back. Thank you.
Yes. Now, we would ask all of you tonight to call us in, if you will, and ask us to work with you. Again, to feel more of God's love. And remember, you're not going to feel it coming from a man with white hair and a whatever and a cane. This is God, all of creation. And along with that, your sense of being powerful. Because you're connected to it all. You have access to it all. You are all of it, and it's all of you. Know that we love each and every one of you. It is a joy for us to be here with you. Always. And until, including you, dear Veronica, and until we speak with all of you again in this format, which will be next week, namaste, dear one.
Namaste. Many blessings.